Okay. So what Candida just shared is also pretty important is you do have to use reference letters, support letters that can speak on behalf of the beneficiary. The real fun part is figuring out what is that author going to write about concerning your beneficiary. And if you have somebody like the person that Candida just described, helped train, so knew her firsthand, and has since been following her work, and in fact has even probably read or maybe even cited two publications that she has authored, all of that goodness in a letter drafted by, signed off by this person in support of an O1 petition would be fantastic. And having 3, 4, 5 of them, there's not a magic number. However, I would say that every single letter you should be able to tie to the evidence that you have in your record and that you want to show demonstrates how they're qualifying for the classification that you're seeking. All right. Any questions about that? I know that was a little cheesy. We're sorry. But really, it's all about trying to figure out how can you pull the information out of the beneficiary. You know, it really is about trying to get them to brag about themselves, to say things about themselves that they're probably not comfortable about because they're just like, yeah, I'm pretty awesome, and I do this really cool thing. I operate on moms who have babies in their bellies still that have problems. I mean, my gosh, that's pretty amazing. So, and how you go from there to tell that story to an officer who either is squeamish about anything surgical or is like really, really inquisitive and wanted to be a doctor but couldn't handle the sight of blood and so was like, I'm going to be an immigration officer and hope I see O1s about doctors like this. You never know. Awesome. The next thing that we want to bump into here is going into the other part of the O1, and that's the O1B. And the O1B is considered to have a little bit of less stringent criteria because it talks about this concept of distinction. And so distinction being this high level of achievement in the arts as evidenced by a degree of skill and recognition substantially above that ordinarily encountered. And it goes on to say, to the extent that a person described as prominent is renowned, leading, or well-known in the field of arts. It just kind of hurts my head. There's a lot of words in there that I'm trying to, that I still to this day when I do these O1Bs is figuring out, is it important for me to make sure the immigration officer understands what high level of achievement means in the field of the arts that I'm trying to qualify my beneficiary? And the answer is yes. Your job truly is to provide the immigration officer with a context with how your beneficiary is seeking to qualify for whatever it is you're saying that they are amazing in. And Candida mentioned at the beginning the importance of marking the correct box on the form I-129 with regards to if you're going to sponsor somebody for O1A or O1B. And this is where I want to kind of digress a little bit and give you an example of a case that we were talking about in preparation for this concerning ballroom dancing. And I don't know if anybody of y'all have read it, but considering two of you, I mean, Paul just walked out. Paul probably has read it. But it's not in the academic field, so I don't think our other O1 expert in here has done it. So, but I will say, it was about ballroom dancing. And the petitioner made the claim that this ballroom dancing professional, that's what the position was intended, was going to be an O1B, a person in the arts, okay? It was denied because USCIS decided that it was actually and should have been an O1A, being somebody extraordinary in the sports, in athletics. So it was appealed. And in the course of the appeal, the AAO actually agreed with USCIS saying, nope, because of the athletic training required to become a ballroom dancer, because it had been recognized by the International Olympic Committee, hadn't been considered a sport for the Olympics, but it had been recognized. And then because of the competitive nature of it, it should have been an O1A. So it was denied. So there are times when you might be looking at a case strategy where you can look at an O1A and an O1B argument, and you've got to figure out which is your strongest. Be reading example cases like this ballroom dancer one, and it's an AILA. The doc is 141-21-644. I'll repeat it, 141-21-644. But it's a good case because it's got a lot of explanation as to what was done in the opinion of the government, correct and incorrect. And had, during appeal, the AAO said, the petitioner said, okay, we're going to go ahead and buy, we'll go the other route. We'll say that it's not arts and we'll say that it's sports. I think maybe the outcome could have been different. I'm not 100% sure, but there was no argument made by the petitioner with regards to the fact that, okay, we'll go the other direction. And I'll talk a little bit about that because I've had my own personal experience with this exact same scenario, but I caved. I said, okay, fine, you're right, and then we got an approval. So here is the O1B criteria. So I've, unfortunately, neither one of us have had the fun of being able to do an O1B for an Academy Award winner, an Emmy winner, or a Grammy winner. I have had the opportunity to help where somebody has been on a Grammy Award winnings album, so I use that as evidence, but I haven't actually had a direct recipient. So if you know of one that wants help, I'd love to be able to do that.